We are at the EOS conference, and Benny is keynoting tomorrow. And it could be up to, what is it, like 2,000 people?
It's 2,000 people here.
That's going to be incredible.
I paid $2,200 a ticket. This isn't your average, this isn't like a roofing conference.
Yeah.
You know, there's no promo deals at the last minute to get in.
Oh, yeah. And that's a real 2,000 people.
A real 2,000. Tim! Yeah, there's a real 2,000 people here, and every seat will be full. And there'll be standing room in the back.
Yeah. So we're talking about why you can't take a vacation in your business. And we've all been there, right? And ultimately, sometimes I feel like I'm there. So I'm trying to learn from you, Benny. I know that you're honestly the epitome of the opposite of that, where I feel like you are pretty good about taking time away from your business. In fact, you've removed yourself for periods of time from your business completely in a way that allows you to have a life outside of work. And I think so. You're an interesting guy in that way, probably more interesting than a lot of entrepreneurs in that particular way.
Well, that was kind of always my goal from the beginning, I would say. I've always had that dream of like, how can you create something that can operate while you're sleeping? Or can operate like while you don't actually have to be there? Because I saw so many entrepreneurs, whether it was on my journey before entrepreneurship or even in it, to where people would just, they actually work harder than they were when they were an employee back in the old days. They never stop. I see these old guys that are working until they're 85. They can't ever retire. Whenever they do, they die. Like, it's
just, you don't get to be out here in San Diego.
Sunny San Diego, baby.
For a conference, by the way.
Can you believe that Eric Richardson gets to roof here and live here?
And like just beautiful.
Yeah, and dominate SEO in his own little local market. This is the dream.
He's another great example. He could also be talking about this a little bit. I think he's like 7 million or something like that, but he takes a lot of time away from
the money. The numbers don't see, that's the other thing in roofing. Everybody loves to talk about that revenue number.
Yeah.
Whether you're 3 million, 5 million, 10 million, 100 million.
I know I do.
Well, and again, they're fun, sexy numbers to talk about. But what no one else talks about is, you know, you have the revenue number, you have the profitability number, and then you have how many days and how many hours are you actually spending in your business? Or even on your business. Mm-hmm. And that's another, I feel like flex move. And so I guess you're right. That's where I kind of have focused it, you know, because there's three things, revenue, profit, and then time.
And because also Eric flexes that he's like, I'm out surfing. He's like, I'm not sitting there. I'm not going to work 70 hours a week. I'm doing this amount and then I'm going to go surf. And he knows what freedom looks like to him. And you know what freedom looks like to you.
Gino Wickman has a new book out called Shine. And in there, he talks about the 10 disciplines for maximizing your energy. And one of the disciplines is know your work capacity. Know how many hours a week that you should work and know how many days a year you should work and fit in that container. And for him, he says he's trying to work about 150 days a year. Or I think it's either he's working 150 or taking 150 off. I can't remember. But then he's only trying to work like 40 hours a week or 50. Or back in the day, like a lot of us, 80, 100-hour work weeks, you know, working every week, not taking a vacation.
So one of the reasons I've resisted this idea traditionally is because I'm on LinkedIn. I don't know if you've ever signed in to LinkedIn, but some of these people on LinkedIn have lost it completely as far as like this idea that they should not. They're basically like entrepreneurs in the amount of freedom that they want, but sometimes it just gets exhausting to hear how basically this idea of not wanting to work. And I just don't want to be that guy.
So it's not work. So like here, so make no mistake that when I say that I only work 2 hours a month right now in Big Fish, you know, we haven't talked for a while. I'm down to 2 hours a month of where I check in. And just get the numbers, see how everyone's doing, check in on the people. I do quarterly meetings, but that's it. I don't want you to think that I'm not working. Mm-hmm. Because I'm still working. It's just I'm working on different things.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily all Big Fish contracting. I have other passions. I have other purposes in life.
Yeah.
I think we all do. Even as employees, we have other things that we wish we could do.
Sure.
You know, but the day-to-day grind, you know, paycheck to paycheck, it doesn't allow us to be creative. Mm. And so for me, I just spend my time working on other things that I enjoy and that I love. And so part of that ELS life is do what you love with people that you love, make a huge impact, be compensated appropriately, and have time for other passions. Mm-hmm. And
EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System, the book Traction by Gino Wickman. Both of you and I are on this traction system for our business. Just to give a basic for people that aren't super aware of EOS and traction, I am drinking the Kool-Aid.
It's orange. It's tasty.
But
it brought us to San Diego.
Yeah. I'm happy to be here. Honestly, it's been so long since I've been to something for my business. I'm always going to do sales and marketing to acquire customers. Mm-hmm. But being here, it's nice to be going to something for myself. But let's outline this problem just a little bit more before we talk about some more solutions.
Okay.
The problem is that roofers and home service business owners in general have this like aversion to looking like they're not working hard, I think. And I think also just like it hurts when you can't step away from your business for a period. Is there anything else that
there's just two extremes.
Yeah.
Right? There's the guys that are so working so much, well, they don't have time to post on social media. They don't have time to show you anything. They don't even barely have time to show you the work that they're doing.
Yeah.
And then you have the other extreme where there are guys that have been able to get out of the grind, the day-to-day mix, and they're just putting on the posters, all the glamorous lives with their wife and families. They're at the beach all the time. They're going on vacation. They're doing everything but roofing or HVAC or whatever you do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just got to be, first of all, you got to be careful on what you're actually seeing out there, because what you're also not seeing is those guys grinding every single day. That can't even be on social media to even see what's going on with other entrepreneurs. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is there really a problem if you can't take a vacation?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because eventually that leads to, and it's not necessarily vacation. You don't have to go to the beach. What you need to do is take time off and do other things. Be more present with your family. Have time for hobbies. Allow yourself to be still, so then that way your creativity can evolve, so that way you can be better at your business when you go back into the box. And so all this is shifting from going into the business, taking a break. Whatever you do during that break, great, but actually do the break. So like on weekends, if you're supposed to be with your family, be with your family. Don't be texting about business. Don't be checking Facebook.
That's something I have a problem with.
Well, we all do a little bit. We're recovering, but like being present is the key to everything.
See, yeah, that's the hardest. For me, that feels like the hardest part, because I do feel like I hopefully this is relatable, so I'm not just doing therapy with Benny right now, but like I have the ability, because I have a good chunk of employees, that they're doing most of the major work. And I've got people in place for sales and marketing now, so there's a lot of work getting done that's on that side and whatever. But I just can't stop thinking about the business and obsessing about the business. And I know it's partly because I'm not that mature in EOS and just like creating big systems in the business that drive everything. Mm. I feel like I'm not mature yet, so I obsess. And little things throw me off a lot. But that's like, I don't know, that's just my current dilemma.
Part of that's because you're a driven entrepreneur. Yeah. Read the book Driven by Dr. Douglas Brackman, and you'll be able to understand exactly how wired-driven entrepreneurs and human beings are. It'll tell you a lot there. The other, it's not necessarily a system. It's more of an inner self thing. It's more of a Tim Brown thing. It wouldn't matter if you were working at Hook Agency or if you're working at Big Fish Roofing. If you quit Hook tomorrow and came to work at Big Fish, you'd have the same issue.
Yeah.
You'd be like constantly worried about selling your next roof job or manage your next project. You'd be the weekend, the wife and baby, once you go to the zoo, and you'd be like checking in with a customer, or you'd be talking to a customer.
Yeah.
Because there's something inside of you that happened from the time we were a child till the time we're here now that makes us go, 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 go. Yeah. And we don't feel settled unless we're doing that.
Yeah.
And so we have to rewire our brain. I mean, we don't have to, because if you don't do this, the alternative is you're going to be like this the rest of your life, and you're going to miss out on some of life's most precious moments. It's when you can get to the point of being still, to let everything slow down, you'll actually have a bigger awareness. You'll be actually able to do more. Mm. Somebody told me, and I'll probably get this wrong, going slow is smooth. Going smooth is fast.
Yes.
I can't believe I got that right.
I think that's a Marine's like mantra.
Sure, but it's true. So I've been doing that. Part of the reason, and it wasn't, I won't give the credit all to EOS, but when I met Brittany, she's into yoga, health and wellness, mindfulness. And because I wanted to hang out with her, I kind of had to enter that world.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in a float spa, like one of those like float baths in a tub for like 45 minutes of total blackness. And like, do you know how hard that was the first time I did that?
Oh, yeah.
It was impossible. 15 minutes, I was like, get me out of here. Because I didn't like myself enough. I didn't love myself enough to be able to just sit there with my own thoughts. So most of us, what creates our success in business is actually a lot of times out of a lack, and it's more of a need for approval. It's more of this competition that we're trying to outperform somebody. We're trying to prove somebody wrong, which, listen, there's a lot of benefits to that. But there's a danger if you just keep going like that forever. It can lead to addiction, lots of other addictions, alcohol dependency, drug dependency, not being able to handle your emotions, bad relationships, you know, divorce at home, also in divorce with employees, right? And isn't it funny that the employee retention rate is the same as the divorce rate? It's about 50%. Hmm. Think about this. Businesses right now are having trouble retaining people. It's like, I heard a stat the other day, it's like 50%. I thought about this. I said, well, that's what divorce is. Well, no, that's just because of there's no intention going in. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is half the other half, the 50% that stay, that's just blind luck. The other 50% that leave, it just happens because there's no intention. Mm. And that's why having core values are so important. Having a good vision is important to be able to attract the right people. Having good emotional intelligence as the leader to be able to manage those human beings and manage that energy. But you're not going to be able to do that if you're constantly in the grind of your business and just putting out fires all day.
So I did just recently take a vacation. Maybe that's why I'm thinking about this.
Like a real vacation?
Yeah, a real one.
Like, did you didn't use your phone?
Okay, I used my phone. I did post on social media.
So he wasn't actually present on vacation.
Oh, I was most of the time. Anyways.
All right. That's all right.
I saw
baby steps.
I saw a baby whale jump over a sunset and I swam with turtles, which is incredible. After getting done with that vacation, I felt refreshed and I felt like I could make better decisions and I felt more relaxed in my decision-making process around my business, which, yes, a lot of the times you're talking about better work because some of my work is just busy work and kind of junk work that I'm doing because I'm anxious.
Yep.
Junk work. But the hard part is, let's say I haven't taken a vacation. Let's say it's been a year or 4 years for you since you've taken a vacation. What would you recommend to people? Would you say just do it, even if it's hard?
I would say, first of all, get yourself a therapist or a coach or somebody that can help you ease into that. Because like, if you just hang up this podcast and be like, all right, I'm going to go do it, there's a high success rate that you're going to end up like me or Tim on our first couple of vacations where we're literally actually working probably more and our wife and our kid hate us more than they probably, And so I would say just ease your way into it, kind of prepare for, and just call it a clarity break. Like, you don't have to go on vacation. You just have to set the devices down, set the business aside, set the family aside for a little bit, and just get super still. And again, a way to do that is meditation.
Yeah.
Mindfulness. I know it's going to sound woo-woo, but like yoga. And again, you can go to these classes, you know, these hour-long classes. You can pay $15, $100, and go and like.
I feel like you're really challenging some roofers right now to.
Like, and I'm just letting you know, you don't have to do this. And if you like the way that your life's going right now and you like the path that you're on and you think that's great, great. Keep going.
I know you talk to a lot of contractors. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten some people into this stuff?
Like, a few.
Yeah, like
the. Yeah, it's not.
Because I feel like there's a whole song about it. Yeah, you're not into yoga.
But here's the thing, though. People come whenever they experience a pain.
Yeah.
Once they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and once something, usually what happens, it takes some type of rock bottom moment, whether it's in their business, where they like, you know, let's just say they lose a bunch of money. Let's say a bunch of people leave, maybe at home, they have to go through a divorce, somebody dies, like something tragic usually has to happen for any of us to be still, right? Because it's in that moment of hitting rock bottom that you actually are forced stillness upon you. And that happened to me a couple of times in my life. And so it wasn't that I was intentional with being still it was after God smacked me in the ass a couple times and knocked me down that I then started like I don't want to wait for something bad happens to become still.
Yeah.
And so now, and again, I'm not still, I should meditate every day. I don't. I'm still on the path. But yeah, being still is definitely one of the 10 disciplines that Gino talks about in his new book, Shine.
Shine.
Maximizing the 10
disciplines
to harness your energy. Because we have so much energy, us driven entrepreneurs.
You love books.
Well, you know why they changed my life? Because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I died in 2017 of a drug overdose. And so after that, you know, it took me 3 years to I was kind of blind. I was kind of still afraid to ask for help, afraid to share my story. COVID then happens. That was another pause, different kind of pause, but another pause. I looked around in my life. I didn't like it. I said, it's time to make some changes. So I met Brittany, started getting me into the health and wellness. And at the same time, then I had a lot of challenges in my business. And so somebody introduced me to the book Rocket Fuel, an EOS book. And then I went heavy into that. And I just realized, man, there's a way out. There's a way to be free, to maximize your impact and also be at peace at the same time. Because everyone talks about impact.
Yeah.
Everybody wants, impact. That's the biggest buzzword, especially in home service. Hey, I want to make an impact. How can you make an impact and have peace at the same time?
How? Tell me how, Benny.
Contractors love the catch-all because it makes every single one of their roof builds easier and more profitable. Protective netting wraps facade and landscaping to prevent from left-behind nails and damage. Homeowner referrals bring you more jobs, and insurance supplements bring you more profits. But my favorite part, the branding.
I'm honestly, dude, I actually am incredibly impressed by your ability to take time away from your business and the fact that your business runs on its own. And I know that for some people that aren't into EOS, maybe they're not willing to jump into it, but talk to me about some of the systems maybe within it that you feel were the most impactful for you and why you're able to take time away from your business.
First of all, I was hiring an integrator, somebody that was wired differently than me, but also had the same core values. The next was having a basic accountability chart, understanding
what integrator, I'm going to demystify EOS words for non-EOS people. Integrator, you've got the visionary, somebody that's usually kind of hard charging, has a big idea. Integrator often is a little bit more detail oriented. Sometimes visionaries start stuff, integrators finish it.
Yeah.
You get somebody that's really detail oriented and really usually good at accountability.
Good at profit and loss, good at managing people, leading people, accountability. They're very logical. That's great. Because again, as a visionary and as a CEO and as an entrepreneur, we're not wired with those other things, but you need those other things in business to be successful. That's why, because you can only go so far. Because I'm only one person. I don't have all the superpowers to be successful. Mm-hmm. The problem is most of us start from scratch with nothing. So we just think that hard work is going to be enough to get us to where we want to go. And that's not the truth. It's it takes a team. It takes a village of different people with different superpowers. So that's number one. Surround yourself with people that are different than you, but also have the same values as you. Mm. Okay. Number two is making sure that you know all the roles in your business and who's doing what. So then that way everyone's clear on what they're doing. So that way someone can say, yes, I'm going to be the best salesperson. Well, I'm not going to be the best salesperson, the best accountant, and the best project manager, because that's when the wheels start to fall off. And that's why employees leave, because they just want to be good at one thing. And then you throw three other things and then they feel like they're losing. You think that they're losing. It gets weird. You either fire them or they quit. And you wonder what happened. And so having that accountability chart with the roles and responsibilities, that was crucial. The other thing was having a regular meeting cadence and knowing how to run meetings effectively. Because if you're anything like me, you would only do meetings usually out of need. It was more of a reaction thing than being proactive. And a lot of times those meetings, if they didn't have a good agenda, could kind of just either go on forever or not really have a lot of purpose. So learning how to do an appropriate L10, we call that in EOS, an L10 meeting was huge.
L10, level 10. Most meetings are like a 6.
Yeah.
A level 10, you're intentionally trying to create a very, very good meeting that starts on time, ends on time, has an agenda,
yep.
has takeaways, who's next step?
So those were the those launched it. Yeah. When I started doing that at the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021, I went from salesperson to CEO almost overnight. Because now I had a basic framework. I mean, I looked way smarter than I actually probably was and like actually good at this stuff. But I was just following these simple principles, but the consistency is the hard part. Because you know how many times that, I don't want to say there was a house on fire, but like, you know, roof job goes bad.
Yeah.
And like, you know, for some reason, I don't want to be the hero because I'm used to being the hero. So then I want to put my cape on and be like, oh, got to cancel that meeting. Got to go run in and save the day. No, like nothing's going to, like nobody's going to die. Yeah. The world's not going to end. We're not saving lives here. We're just putting on roofs. We're just installing air conditioning. Like, yeah. it's going to be okay. And then the next thing is learning how to let go and let other people solve those problems. Let them be the heroes. Mm-hmm. How can we make everybody in our organization have the cape on so we can take our cape off?
Let's develop that idea a little bit further here. I want to touch real quick on the accountability chart because I had one little thing to add there. For me, a light tweak on the accountability chart opened everything up. I was trying to, I'll just give my thing. This was like a year or so ago. I was trying to have 7 people on our main executive leadership team. Mm-hmm. And just having an implementer who just said, let's get less people on that and move those to operations. Mm-hmm. And then you've got sales and marketing over here. And then we've got finance and admin over here. Let's put that bigger meeting into the operations department and then have only 4 of us on the executive team. That one tweak, it seems like so little, but that one tweak really helped our systems a lot and made everyone better because you're delineating out responsibilities. Because I was having 7 people worried about profit, you know, or like I was having 7 people worried about higher level money things and like anxious about big existential questions when really they needed to be focused on doing better work.
Yeah, a lot of times if your sales manager, your marketing manager, your finance manager, your ops manager, your integrator, these people are always a little bit wired differently than the entrepreneur, the CEO. They only have so much capacity and they really want to do a good job. And so they only have so much time in the day. And if you got them in these other meetings that they don't really need to be a part of, and you can put them in a meeting that's going to be more meaningful. Yeah. And you can also then give more responsibility to the actual role they're supposed to be the best in the world at. You're going to help them out. And so that's definitely a smart way to do it.
I think that this bridges the two topics here because we've got people. We're talking about people and getting great people in these roles and then like enabling your people. And so part of enabling is that org chart, weirdly. Because if you take them off of all the things that they really shouldn't be worried about and get them focused on the things they should, they're going to be more effective. Is there anything else that you've found? Ooh, this might be loud.
No, our mics are tight to us.
Okay.
You guys like that little background music. That's just because me and Tim are loving life right now. We're in San Diego. We're having a great time. We have no idea what's happening back home in our businesses right now. All we know is when we get back, our business will still be there. The problems will still be there. And guess what? Hopefully our people are solving those problems.
And there will be some development. That's the best part. Like,
because they'll grow. They got to figure it out.
There's solutions getting developed without our direct involvement, which is a major transformation in any company's business. So if you're experiencing that now, I want to just say congratulations.
Well, and one of the things that I've been really talking about a lot in our mastermind that we have, the arena, I do this thing called letting go.
It was just a little commercial of music. Sorry.
That was it. Yeah. So it's called letting go. Because most of us, we hold on to everything because we're the hero. And so we're trying to solve everything and put all the problems out. And so we actually have never been wired to learn how to just let go and be still. Because that doesn't feel safe to us. And so how do you let go continuously? Because I don't believe until you let go, your company can grow. You have to let go to grow. And you have to be able to trust other people. And a lot of us, because we've been crapped on our whole life, punched in the face, beat up, told we're not good enough, we're not loved.
Wedgies.
Yeah, we hold on to everything. And we're afraid, it's hard for us to trust. And some of us are too trusting because we just want to trust everybody. And so, and that can be a downside too, but letting go responsibly is the key to being able to grow. Because here's the thing, you want to empower your people to be able to rise up. Because if you're always at the top of the food chain, you're always going to be at the top of the food chain, and Sally or Michael aren't going to be able to rise into that spot. And so you got to get out of the way so people can level up.
Yeah. I like this. It's Grant Cardone. I know that he's fallen out of fashion in some circles.
Oh, depends on what circle you're in.
I like the guy. So he talks about new problems. I don't just want those same old problems that I had last year. I want new problems. And I think some of us are addicted to having the same problems that we had last year. We think that that's the business. We think that being micromanaging about project management or whatever is, that's the business. And we're, if we're stepping out of that, like you said, it's unsafe.
It gets boring. For the true driven entrepreneur, solving the same problem over and over again, you're gonna get real bored, real burnout, and then you're gonna have a need to blow shit up. It's just what we do. We like to just blow things up. Because again, we need a new problem to solve.
Yeah.
And so guess what? Give those day-to-day problems to somebody else and let them champion that and be like, hey, Frank, guess what? You're now in charge of solving every single job site problem. You should call me one out of every 20 problems if you need some help. And guess what? When you call me, guess what I'm going to say? Hey, Frank.
Don't call me.
I'm not going to say, Frank, don't call me. After three times, I will. But here's Frank. And I think Dan Martell talks about this in his book, Buy Back Your Time. Here's the problem. One problem. Give me three solutions, Frank, on how you would solve it. Mm-hmm. Frank's going to give me three different ways to solve it because I want to teach my people how to think critically.
Yeah.
All right, Frank. Out of those three solutions, what do you think is best? Based on everything you know about yourself, the company, and everything you know about me, what do you think the best decision is? He's going to say it. Frank, sounds like you've got a plan. Click, hang up.
Yeah.
And I think once you start to let your people understand how to solve their own problems, you know, and the other thing that I can do is like, listen, give people a dollar amount. If it's under $500, like give, like certain people, like I have in my company, if it's under $500, dude, you can literally solve any problem. $500, solve it. If it's like $2,500, that's like the leadership team.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's like $10,000, that's the integrator, the COO. And if it's above $10,000, I'll take that phone call while I'm on vacation. And so, but it's going to be different on every business and every level and how comfortable you are. But you're going to realize that, like, it doesn't matter if Tim solves the problem or Ben solves the problem or if Bia solves the problem or Rob solves the problem. As long as it gets solved, is it going to matter in 5 years? Is it going to matter?
Yeah.
No matter what they decide, no matter what anybody decides, is it actually going to matter in 5 years? And if you hire the right people and you put them in the right seats, let go, let the magic work, and you hired them for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's not being accountable, well, guess what? Whoever you put in charge to hold the accountability in place, hey, man, what's going on? Tell me, like, you know, and have that conversation. But that's not for us. That's not for us driven CEO entrepreneurs to figure out how to manage people. We suck at managing people. Most of us. And the only times that we're good at it is because you've been doing it for so long, you've gotten so used to it, you probably don't even know, you don't even really enjoy it. It's probably like on the delegate and elevate chart. That's another discipline in EOS. It's probably something that you don't like doing, but you're really good at it because you've been doing it for so long.
Give us the quick, what does delegate and elevate mean to you?
That just means being aware of the things that you love or are great at, understanding what you hate doing and what you're not good at. You know, that's the top right and the bottom right quadrant. And then there's that don't like, but I'm really good at. So those are the things that you've been doing for so long that you actually got good at, right?
Yeah.
For you, it may have been sales. Let's just say sales.
Oh yeah.
Because you had to get good at sales. Because
if
you
weren't like it originally, right. But
then you got good at it, but you probably still don't like it.
Yeah.
You'd rather just get back into marketing.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. Because that's the trap box. Mm-hmm. The things that you don't like, but you're good at, that's where most of us stay in because we're unaware because we think, oh, we're so good at this. We wear it like a badge of honor. and it doesn't really serve us. And once we realize that we can take that, and somebody, there's somebody out there that really loves sales and they're really great at it. Mm. Like your girl.
Yeah,
Sydney.
Yeah.
She loves it. She's great at it. Mm-hmm. She'd much rather do that than go on Facebook and market the company and come to this, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And do all this. And that's okay. Let everybody find their zone of genius. Dan Sullivan talks that about a lot. Find their unique, what's he call it? Unique ability.
Yeah.
That's a trademark term, I think, in Dan Sullivan's.
Dan Sullivan is a badass.
Well, he's the godfather to all this stuff. He's Gino's teacher.
Let's end this with a little like waxing poetic about books and people. Dan Sullivan, yeah, apparently he coached so many of the best coaches that like, so you said Gino Wickman is a Dan Sullivan prodigy or something?
Yeah.
I think that like, so Dan Sullivan, who not how is a big one.
Mm-hmm. 10X is easier than 2X.
10X is easier than 2X is really good.
Be your future self now.
Be your future self now. I think that one's just the other author.
Yeah, but listen, they did that book together. You know why?
Why?
Because Dan Sullivan owns Benjamin Hardy in that world.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, but Benjamin Hardy is a beast too.
But no, but Benjamin Hardy is the guy that knows how to write everything down, be scientific about it. Dan Sullivan's like us.
Yeah.
Like he understands the concept, but he doesn't know how to explain it all. So he partners with Benjamin Hardy to
gap
be able to write
the
all
game.
The books.
The gap in the game. Gap in the game is the principle. Like, we're often entrepreneurs are in the gap, meaning they're looking forward to their vision and they're kind of frustrated that they're not getting there as quickly as they want to. And the gain is how far you've come in the last couple of years and like really looking at that more often and helping your people look at that.
That's
more
the gratitude side. You know, gratitude. Most of us don't. And again, when you get still and you focus on the things that you're grateful for, when you come out of that silence or when you come out of that stillness, you're going to be on fire.
Yeah.
Like for good things. But yeah, Dan Sullivan's the visionary.
Dan Sullivan. So he is really good with these concepts. He calls them like intellectual shortcuts. And like, I really think that once you kind of get not addicted, let's use more positive language.
Into the
like,
rabbit hole?
Once you get like...
Into the vortex?
Ramped up on all these intellectual shortcuts, they do help you move quicker in your entrepreneurial journey. And so, and then he also, what I realized too is Dan Sullivan, before Benjamin Hardy, has all these little mini workbooks that are available on Audible and stuff like that. They're like really short books.
Yeah, with pictures and graphs.
Little
and
like,
cool
kind of mini books. And then once he got Benjamin Hardy, then he started to write these more full length.
But yeah, Benjamin Hardy is like the Simon Sinek. He just explains everything very beautifully, simply, and puts a lot of context and a lot of explanation.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening here. They're maybe kicking us out of here soon. But Benjamin Hardy, man. That man spoke here at this conference last year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that talk changed my life.
Oh, yeah. I was at a conference with him, and I got to go meet him, and he goes, like, this is a weird, like, little guru moment or something like that. I met him, and he's like, hey, what's your big 10X goal? And I was like, 40 million marketing agencies. And I'm like, he's like, when do you want to do that? I'm like, 15 years. He's like, what if you can do it in 5?
Or what if it could be 350 million?
Yeah, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, like, you know, like you meet your hero and then he tells you something crazy and you're like, oh God.
If you truly believe in what you're doing and you want to be the best version of yourself and you want to build a great organization, there's no other place to do that besides the Roofing Academy.
Well, here's what that does. So in 10-year thinking is the number one, is the first discipline in the 10 disciplines from the Gino Wickman book, Shine, that I was telling you about. That 10-year thinking, having those big goals, gives you new problems to solve. So let's just say you're an entrepreneur right now listening to this and you're doing $1 million a year, which is awesome. It's a lot of money. You're doing great. You're making more money than you did at your last job or maybe at your last business that you had. And we think about how to do $2 million the next year, right? Because our brain thinks linear. We have that 2X thinking. So then we start to solve problems for $2 million. Mm. But what if I told you you needed to go from 1 million to 10 million, 10X? The way Grant Cardone talks about it, it's really fast, and there's not a lot of tools and discipline.
Did he take that from?
Well, I don't want to say he took it. But, but 10X did a lot of damage to a lot of us.
I think
just 10X without the strategy and without the how behind it, and the understanding of the philosophy, it's like we're chasing this, but like without focus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Grant Cardone's great. 10X thinking is great.
No, I'm so happy I got introduced to it.
But it's 10X with guidelines and boundaries. So then that way you're solving problems. You're not just working harder. Because when you read Grant Cardone's 10X, you just want to go out and work harder.
Yes.
He doesn't talk much about who, not how.
Yeah.
And like you need to find a bunch of who's. He just says, go out and crush it. With that smile and those great teeth. Like,
he's a handsome man.
No, he's great.
I'm trying to get him on this podcast.
He's great. And so that's why.
I'm trying to get him on this podcast.
And he'll come one day. I think if you got Grant Cardone and Benjamin Hardy, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because here's the thing. It's just a refined version. It's taking Grant Cardone's, like, hustle and big ideas and then just putting some, what do you call them? What'd you say that Dan Sullivan calls it? No, the little intellectual hacks or.
Oh, intellectual shortcuts?
It's like taking Grant Cardone's 10X, bringing some intellectual shortcuts, and then also a belief of stillness. Listen, here's the deal. You have to fix your path. You have to be reborn. That whole trauma that's holding you back is going to hold you back from going forward. So you have to kind of deal with this past version of yourself. You got to figure out who you want to become. Become that person now and then go.
Dan Sullivan, all this 10X stuff, 10X is easier than 2X. Mm-hmm. That's by itself is an intellectual shortcut. Mm-hmm.
Who not how is the biggest hack in the world.
Who not how is an intellectual shortcut by itself.
Yeah.
Gap in the gain is an intellectual shortcut by itself. And then, but like he is the coach's coach, right?
Yeah. So, or the visionary's visionary.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do that. Visionary.
He's like the visionary of all visionaries.
But so he.
Because he's got a program called Strategic Coach.
Yeah.
Where it's like an incubator.
For all these.
Yeah, like people like Juno Wickman and Benjamin Hardy, like they're all in there.
But what I was going to say there with all that is that he believes you should act like a high performance athlete with your, like you should be taking days off. He's a big days off guy. And he would probably like this conversation around taking some vacation, but like ultimately to get energized.
Yeah. It's not necessarily all about beaches and like sitting down. Like you might only go to So when I plan, I only do 2 weeks of vacation a year, like actual like vacations, like beach, family.
Yeah,
I'm like shutting the phone off. Like I only shut the phone off twice, you know. And the other stuff that I do are events, conferences. You know, being passions of mine, right? Like this is this is fun for me.
Active rest, almost.
Yeah.
Or like active.
But
stuff.
Then I also listen. I'm not gonna lie. I take every Friday afternoon off. Mm-hmm. Like literally, and guess what I do? Whatever I want. I'll go eat sushi for lunch. I'll go get a haircut. I might go do a float spa. Like, I'm just chilling.
Looks good, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah, I've got a big keynote coming up tomorrow morning, so I got to look good. I had a facial yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah. Didn't get the nails done yet, though. A lot of guys in here get their nails done.
Man, I wish. That sounds nice. I mean, I did get my feet done one time. It tickled a lot.
You know, I got a podcast where he's here. His name's Mike Lynch. He's a roofer out of Boston.
Really?
Dude, he's the most funniest guy ever. If you guys want to laugh, you got to get him to get Mike Lynch on your podcast. He's an old school Boston guy. Dude, it'll be awesome.
I just want to encourage you. If you're making moves in your business and you're stepping out in such a way that allows your people to do their best work, if you're delegating to elevating, you said something earlier that struck me. It was so simple. It was you need to get out to grow or something like that.
You got to let go to grow.
And I just want to say you're doing a great job if you're doing that a little bit more this year. I'm proud of you. Benny's proud of you.
If you need some help, just DM me or message me. I'm the easiest guy in the world to get a hold of. You know what I heard from a guy like the other day that was in my DMs?
Yeah.
He goes, I never thought you'd respond. I thought you were too busy to respond. Or I thought you were like, you know, you're always all over the place and you're doing all this cool stuff. I didn't think you had time to like message me. One of my biggest passions is helping entrepreneurs. Because when you can get that freedom back, like your life can change, and the entrepreneurs are the ones that can change the world. Mm-hmm. And so I'm on a mission to help as many entrepreneurs as possible.
I love it. I want to say I'm proud of you, man. I think that the fact that you're doing this keynote is just a really cool climactic moment. And I know that you're going to keep on doing bigger things, but this is like, to me, this is so fucking cool that you're doing
just,
this.
Just a little spot in the journey, man.
Bro, it's so cool, just though. This is just a cool moment, man. Yeah, you gotta,
it's cool.
You got to start. It's cool. It's dope, and you're going to do an incredible job. And thank you for taking some time to be on this podcast. And thank you, everyone, for watching. Podcast is put on by hookagency.com, Hook Agency all over social media. Please like, comment, and subscribe. And Benny, what can people do if they want to contact or what's your .com?
If they want to get in my world, bennyfisher.com. It's pretty simple. Keep it, you know, I got my podcast on there, the Big Fish Cares podcast. We don't talk anything about the roofing business, nothing about home service. We talk about the journey that people have went on, overcoming things, kind of where they're at in their life, just everything but work. And then we have the Arena Mastermind that I partner with your boy Joseph Hughes.
Joseph Hughes?
Which he's going to be here tomorrow.
Awesome. Yeah. The Arena Mastermind. And then I hear that you have a roofing company. What is the .com for that?
Oh, thebigfishcoast.com. But like none of your listeners are going to care about. They're not homeowners.
Thebigfishco.com. We're going to link to that.
Yeah,
because
Tim tells me that's a good little hack.
You should definitely do podcasts and get your link in the podcast. Appreciate you, bro.